for the sermon, our pastor, Mr. LeBlanc.
I want to go to an amazing story, which actually reveals to us the mind of God. So I'm going to entitle the message today, A Very Different Mind. A Very Different Mind. And I don't think we think of God's mind in this way that often, though we should. So you're going to have to bear with me today because I'm going to stay on this lane initially, then switch over into another lane as we go through the sermon today. But it's very important for you to understand because all of us want to see God's hand more vibrantly involved in our lives. There are certain prayers we want to be answered. We want maybe prayers to be speeded up. There's nothing more wonderful at the personal level than to see God's hand working in your life. Everybody needs that encouragement. And I want to talk about how that can be done on, shall we say, a more persistent basis. But it has to do with understanding his mind. And after all, are we not to have the mind of Christ? And here we see the mind of Christ, even though it's working in unconverted people in a way. I'm not saying that these individuals have the Holy Spirit, but you can see what God is drawn to regarding this very, very different mind. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 23, speaking about David's mighty men. I'm in verse 9 of 2 Samuel 23. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. Dodo, the Ahoahite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defiled the Philistines. Remember, they're fighting against the Philistines. It's an ongoing fight. Who were gathered there for battle. And the men of Israel retreated. So either they were outnumbered or the Philistines were winning. It was a depressing situation. The Philistines had the upper hand. Probably they were winning. So most of the men of Israel retreated. I mean, that is just the human mind. We've all retreated from a situation. Either we get depressed, low energy, discouragement, lack of faith. We retreat from a challenge or a difficulty or a trial. That's just human. We all know what it is like to be on the battlefield and to retreat. So that's kind of the topic we're going to be talking about today. But we're told in verse 10 that there was a certain man who arose, this man, Eleazar, son of Dodo. He arose and he attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. Just one man who said, I'm not going to retreat. I'm going to fight. I'm not going to give in to either cowardice or discouragement or fatigue or we'll fight another day, whatever that attitude may be. I'm not going to give in to any of that. I've had enough. I'm going to battle. Let the cards fall where they may. We have that expression. I'm fighting. That is a very different mind. The normal human mind is not an aggressive fighting mind. The normal human mind is we run up against a wall of problems. It could be any context, a marriage situation at work, a problem with a relative, a health issue, and eventually knowing the human spirit, we tend to back down because we're just flesh, right? We are weak when we're in the flesh. He was different. So he fought, his hand stuck to the sword. Now, how many hours did this man fight? We're not given a time frame. How many people did he kill? And they had to swarm him at times. It was probably 3-4 at a time. Now, if you get 20 or 30 at a time, maybe that would be too difficult because then you'd slash your sword and hit one of your own men. But he was going after this for some time. He never backs down. Now, this is the mind of God. When we have the mind of God, we never back down. But it is not human. Today, I am not talking about the human mind. I'm talking about a mind of power, which is God's mind, which he gives to us, but must be requested, must be acted upon, must be constantly engaged. It's a wonderful state of mind, really. So nobody likes the feeling of giving up or being overwhelmed by discouragement or drowning in a spirit of fear or confusion. We've all been there. It's a horrible place to be, right? I don't want to be in that gray, foggy world of doubt. I'm not sure. I'm afraid. It's not going to work out. We've all been there. We know that landscape well, because we're human. So the Lord, then seeing that state of mind, brought about a great victory. So his ability to fight, I fully believe, though it isn't directly stated, I think it's definitely the case, you read between the lines, was there. God honored this act of faith. He rewarded this man because this man had a very different mind. He was attacking the enemies of the Lord, and God greatly blessed him. His name is written in the book of 2 Samuel, and he became one of the great men of battle, one of David's greatest mighty men. And he arose and he attacked the Philistines, his hand stuck to the sword. So whatever problem you're facing now, and I know you are, health, difficult neighbors, frustration at work, whatever that may be, I encourage you to grab a hold of that sword, ask for God's strength, and he will get you through the battle. He'll give you the victory, but you have to act in faith. You have to hang on to the sword. It is truly a very, very different mind. And the people then returned after him only to the plunder while he had done the dirty work. God loves people who do the dirty work. He blesses those who get their hands dirty. What a story. And this is really interesting. Again, a man who has a very different mind. Verse 11. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines, again, had gathered together in a troop, and there was a piece of ground full of lentils. It was very serious because if you lost your land where you grew crops, you didn't have food. I mean, this is serious business, very serious. So the people fled from the Philistines, probably outnumbered. Maybe they didn't have as many swords. Philistines had a lot of iron. So most of the people fled, and they were afraid, they were discouraged. They were overwhelmed, that sense of overwhelm, which can hit us very hard, right? Everyone knows what overwhelm means. Everyone knows what fear means. You could talk to a five-year-old and they'll listen when you talk about fear. So afterwards, there's a Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And so the people flee, but he stands the ground. Once again, it's, I'm not leaving. I'm going to fight. And because God loves that very different mind, he defends the ground. We don't know how many rushed him to try to win and to kill him. Frankly, this is life and death. So he defends the ground and he kills the Philistines. We don't know how many he kills. So the Lord brought about a great victory. So victory often comes when we're willing to do the dirty work, when we are willing to work through maybe the days or the weeks and sometimes even the months of heavy trial or discouragement, when you do not give in to fear, when you do not give in to a spirit of just simply being overwhelmed, because we're looking to God, you see, and then God gives a victory. Very important for us to understand this incredible mind that God blesses. So God wants us to have a very different mind, but understand this, and at least I didn't think about it that often, if ever. The mind of Christ, we often think about in terms of forgive quickly, love your enemies. And all those things are true. Very much the mind of Christ. Wisdom, listening, don't be a scoffer, as Mr. Carlson was talking about. Don't be overly talkative. Christ was a humble individual, being patient with one another. Those are aspects of the mind of Christ. Put others before yourself. Let me just give you an example. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Because if you fight better, God will accomplish more through you. He will give you more victories. You will produce more fruit for him because he wants us to produce fruit. He's going to be very much there with you, and you will be blessed and encouraged as you fight through the wars you fight through in this life, whatever those wars may be. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. This is the mind of Christ. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Totally contrary to the mind of the world, which is self-absorbed, selfish to an extreme. Verse 4, let each of you look out for others' interests. It's okay to have your own interests, he says. It's not wrong to have your own goals and desires. It's okay. It's a normal part of healthy living, but to look out on the interests of others. So, right, we think of that in that way. We understand that's the mind of Christ. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Ephesians 4 and verse 31. So I'm contrasting. We're moving from one freeway now as it merges into another freeway, something I don't think you've ever thought of before. Regarding the mind of Christ, because a very different mind I'm talking about today is the mind of Christ, but maybe it plays out in a different way. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. So let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Sometimes it's difficult to be in that mind. That's Ephesians 4:32. I had a visit last week with a gentleman. He's a big bear of a man, good-hearted guy. But he was going on and on and on about he didn't like one son-in-law. His daughters don't listen to him. His daughters are 30, 31, 32, because I'd met the daughters before. His wife doesn't listen to him. He wasn't in a good mood. We were having this visit. And I said, look, when you go to Thanksgiving, just don't lecture them, you know. Don't get into it at Thanksgiving. Just be nice. And he's a good-hearted man, a real soft-hearted man. Said, yeah, I know you're right. I know you're right. I don't know how Thanksgiving went. Maybe I'll see him in a couple of weeks and find out. It's hard sometimes to have these attitudes of mind, but that's what we typically think of. And it is the mind of Christ. It's the mind of Christ is to forgive quickly. It's to be patient, to understand we're all dealing with our humanness and don't speak evil of other people. It's very hard. But the mind of Christ is also a very aggressive mind. It is a mind that is quick to go to war. We're told by the Apostle Paul that we're to fight against Satan. We're to put on the armor of God. It's very warlike. It is aggressive of and by itself, the helmet of salvation. Then the word of God is the sword and the shield of faith. These are, shall we say, graphic descriptions of the way we should go about things. But I think often we forget that the mind of Christ is very aggressive as well. By aggressive, I don't mean necessarily combative with other human beings. There can be a time for that. I'm not saying there isn't a time for that, but I mean it's alive, it's dynamic, it's moving, it's definitely not passive. Now, there's a time we're calm and there's a time we're quiet, and I want to give balance to the message today. I told you back a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was even last week, why don't we go to Matthew chapter 9. Again, we're taking a look at the mind of Christ in a different way because I want to have more of that mind. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And when Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and healing the sick and every disease from among the people. Now, there was great compassion there, and there was a lot of persecution as a result of the healings. Even the Pharisees would persecute him because he would heal on the Sabbath. So it was a much more hostile environment than we realize, even though the healing was wonderful and compassionate. But he took a look at the people who were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And he said to the disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Now, to be a laborer requires effort and work and energy. It's a fight, really, in its own way. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to literally, in the original language, means to thrust out laborers. And you can see this from a variety of sources. This really opened up my mind because it means don't take it for granted just because God wants a work to be done. You have to still pray to him that he will inspire, stir up, move people with a great deal of energy so that these laborers would be thrust out. But it's literally the same expression used for casting out demons. It's very abrupt, almost violent, really, because when you're casting out a demon, it's a violent confrontation, very aggressive. This is what I mean by the aggressiveness of Christ's mind, not necessarily that you're arguing with people. And I wish I could find a better word. I've looked at French, Spanish. I don't know what Italian would be, Albert. You know, I don't know what the word would be. I even looked into Russian. Aggressiveness doesn't always mean like attacking another human being, but it is often with aggression. There's a sense of confrontation. There's no question about it. The mind of Jesus Christ is also a mind of confrontation. It has to be used with wisdom. What is overcoming? We're told in Revelation 2 and 3, to him who overcomes will be granted a reward in the kingdom of God and leadership positions. Overcoming, overcoming, overcoming. You have to be aggressive. You're not going to overcome anything. Truly, right? You're not going to overcome your spiritual laziness. Let's say if you don't pray enough, maybe that's spiritual laziness. You're not going to overcome your sharp tongue with your husband if you criticize him too much. You're not going to overcome maybe your gossip if you're given to gossip. You're not going to overcome any sinful behavior unless you have an aggressive spirit involved, which is too the spirit of Christ, to be used wisely. I'm not talking about we attack those we love, okay? Please understand what I'm talking about today. The mind of Christ is very aggressive. Getting back to Matthew chapter 9, because I'm thinking, well, how do I do a work in a COVID environment and everything's shut down and it's frustrating? Well, you know, I realized, look, I've got to be more aggressive here. I got to see people. I can meet them in their homes. I can meet them at coffee shops. They want that. They're willing to do that. They're always happy to do that. Well, let me get out there as much as I possibly can. It's more of an aggressive approach for me that I have to do. And some I will contact by email. There's some people who come to the prophecy studies. I don't have their telephone number, but I will send an email and I'll say, I'm going to be in your area over the next couple of weeks, if you ever want to get together with a cup of coffee. And some of them may be a little bit shy and won't do it, but I guarantee you'll get some who will do it because they have this idea, you know, you're on the radio. It's like you're this person or something, and it's totally ridiculous. So find a way to be more aggressive in whatever your request is, whatever your desire is, because often prayers remain on the runway of life. Right? You're like an airplane, and most of you have been on an airplane and you're on the runway. Maybe bad weather comes through and you're just stuck on that runway, waiting for the weather to pass or waiting for the other planes to clear out. And you're kind of stuck there. And often when there's a delay in your prayer life, it's simply because you are not aggressive enough. Got to be more aggressive. Our whole culture is geared towards passivity. TV, more computer viewing, video games, it's getting more, not less, makes people passive. It's very dangerous, very subtle. Of course, I'm not saying it's wrong. You see a good movie or watch a sports event. Of course, I'm not saying that. TV is wonderful in a way because it is relaxing. That's why people watch TV. I'm not saying never watch the news or anything like that. Of course not. But it has neutered our people. It's neutered our people. Some of you remember there was a time when you were a child and you would play outside, and I tell you, it would border on child abuse as far as I was concerned, for my parents to say, you cannot go out and play. The idea that you were to stay in the house, ultimately, I'm not joking, was the worst form of punishment, literally the worst form of punishment that could be inflicted. But that's when your television, you only had two or three channels, and there certainly wasn't cable TV and there weren't computers. I really don't think all this screen time, I don't think we realize how it neuters people. It really neuters people. It's very subtle. So whatever you're trying to achieve, whatever fight you're fighting right now, doesn't matter what it is. It's across the board. Understand God constantly is looking for people who seek him out, who pursue him, who are aggressive. There's a good sense of aggressiveness. You want that in your children. Your children could be very shy, but in their own way, they can be very aggressive with their schoolwork or they keep their room. I'm not talking necessarily about personalities per se, because some of the most aggressive people I've ever known were relatively shy people. Some of the best salespeople I've ever seen were very kind of shy people, but they went about their task in a very determined, grab the bull by the horns way, but very nice, but we're very effective. Understand our culture constantly wants to make us less aggressive. This can spill over into our relationship with Jesus Christ and with God. don't ever forget Deuteronomy 6 in verse 4 says we're to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. It's dynamic. It's every day. It's all throughout the day. It's not just occasionally when there's a trial or a problem. There's also this wonderful truth. It's an absolute truth. The more you seek God out, the more aggressive you are in seeking out a relationship with Him, you will see Him engaged in your life on a more regular basis. So if you're in a rut, I can almost guarantee in most cases, 95% of the cases, there's a lack of aggressiveness in your life. That too is the mind of Christ, to be aggressive. And of course, the scripture is such an interesting scripture in Matthew chapter 11. So I'm thinking a lot in context of, look, whether it's COVID, not COVID, whether I can go to Europe or not go to Europe, I can certainly be more aggressive. I mean, the desire is there to do a work. I have that. It's interesting. I enjoy it. Well, let me find ways to do it. Let me step out into the battlefield. Let me step out more often, use wisdom. I have to use wisdom, but step out into the battlefield more often. Matthew 11, fascinating verse on Matthew 11 and verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. You and I have to take the kingdom by force. I have to overcome myself. I have to overcome the world. Every day is a fight. Some days we get tired. Many days we almost forget it is a fight just because you're going through the grind of life and distractions and you got relative issues and your lawnmower broke and the heater's not working. And, you know, because this world is tremendously distracting, which again kind of sucks out of you your energy to give anything to God. So even in overcoming, working on ourselves, it takes energy and effort. And God will give you the energy and effort. Sometimes we're tired. We'll go to Him and just say, I'm tired. He knows. He'll help you. He'll help you. And then put one foot in front of the other, and you'll begin to come out of some of those cloud banks of discouragement and fear. And, you know, sometimes it seems like you're forever flying in these gray clouds, and eventually you burst through and there's sunshine. Be more aggressive, as was the woman in Luke chapter 8. Go to Luke chapter 8. I'm just showing you the mind of Christ in ways I don't think we naturally think this way. Hopefully it will encourage you not only to be more patient with people, to be loving, to be gentle, to use wisdom. All these things are very, very important. But certainly aggressiveness is very much the mind of Christ as well. Let's go to Luke 8. Let's go to Luke 8. So I'm changing lanes here, but we're on the same freeway going to the same destination. So let's go to Luke chapter 8. The beautiful story. And Herbert Armstrong, I mentioned before in his radio programs, would go back to the story again and again and again. He'd talk about it from an ever so slightly different angle. He loved the story. It's a great story. But listen, because that's going to be one of my points, because sometimes we read these stories again and again and again, and we just assume the mind goes into neutral. Oh, I kind of know the story. But listen, verse 43, Luke chapter 8 and verse 43. Now, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. It must have been a miserable life. She had to be in pain at times. Probably what the constant blood flow in a woman? That's probably low energy too, right? I mean, life can stink because you just have such low energy every day. Verse 44, but she came with intent. In a sense, she grabbed a hold of the sword. She came with intent. She heard he was there. She made the effort. She was aggressive to push her way through the crowd. In verse 44, she came from behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. So Christ here didn't heal her based on his faith, based on her faith and her aggressiveness. So a person can be healed that way. And in this case, it wasn't even the laying on of hands, but the faith was her, you see. And Christ didn't even know. He said, who touched me? Because he could feel the power go out. When all denied it, Peter and those who were with him said, Master, The multitudes throng oppress you. What do you mean, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out of me. She was afraid, and all these other people are around, but none of these other people around touched him with the intent to be healed. Isn't that interesting? They probably didn't know at that point that by touching him, you could be healed. Later on, you see other references. We won't go there today. Then everybody would throng him, touch him. It's like, hey, that worked. And then everybody else was touching him whenever they could. And so she explained the situation. He said to her, verse 48, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. What if she had not been aggressive? What if she got to the group and the crowd? It was too noisy. No doubt it was high energy. And she was just too intimidated, too afraid. A lot of people would be afraid. She was a woman, probably a Gentile woman. What if she had been too afraid to do that, you see? But her aggressiveness, which often when you see faith, you do see an aggressive mind. Not always, but much of the time you see an aggressive mind when you see faith. Beautiful story, wonderful story. So you can go to Jesus Christ at any time and you can see how loving he is, but he rewards that sense of aggressiveness. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. Now, this is very important. I know I get much more out of sermonettes and sermons, whether, quote, the topic interests me or not, right? We all have topics that are just more interesting to ourselves than others. And it's just the way it is. It has nothing to do really in a sense with the speaker. And this is very interesting. Christ is speaking here in verse 17 of Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 17. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. In verse 18, he says, therefore, take heed. Now, I've never said to a friend or a church member, thou, Willie, take heed, therefore. I've never used that expression. I've never said, verily, verily, Melanie. We don't use King James English. But take heed here means you pay absolute attention to what I'm telling you. I'm giving you gold. I'm giving you gold. Take heed how you hear. So when it comes to sermons, when it comes to sermonettes, regardless of the topic or even the speaker, listen intently, not necessarily to find fault. I mean, that can happen too, but you want to say, well, maybe God has something for me today, probably does, but I need to listen. What scriptures are they quoting? Maybe God is giving that scripture for me. So take heed how you hear. In other words, be very, very aggressive in your hearing. For whoever has, to him more will be given. Now he's talking about hearing. He wants us to hear better. Because Jesus Christ taught about the kingdom of God. And you know, after he had died, when he was resurrected, only about 120 believed. So people weren't really paying much attention to what he said. They were healed by the thousands. Demons were cast out, hundreds, if not thousands. They weren't listening. America is not a listening culture at all. We may be one of the worst. All the talk shows, when I go to the gym, there are 18 television screens across the gym. Noise, constant noise, movement, distraction. Then they're blaring music in the background. How many times have I heard a husband or a wife say, he doesn't listen to me? And by listening, I'm not even talking about agreeing per se. It is such a choppy, fast-paced, crowded world. We're so hyped up. Listen to God. This is where Bible study is so important, because really, during Bible study, you're listening, right? You're listening. And try not to go too fast. Listen. Really give it your undivided attention. Listen to what he is saying, because even listening can be done in a passive way where you're kind of paying attention. Well, yeah, I know the story. And then you move through it. You almost coast through it. Or you can be very aggressive in the listening, because God is speaking. And often we just don't hear him because we're really not paying close attention. We can be dedicated, zealous about doctrine. We can be loving toward our neighbors, forgiving. But we can be poor listeners when dealing with other people, our friends, spouses. And most of all, poor listeners with God. You have to be aggressive in your listening. Very, very important. Luke 18 is filled with some of these stories. Let me go to Luke 18. Notice the theme is strong. It's crystal clear. The mind of God is aggressive, obviously in a responsible, good way. And he responds to aggressiveness. Okay, let me jump off the lane for a moment. If you have an 11-year-old son and you phone or you ask me to come to the hospital, and I go to the hospital, I pray, and your son's very, very ill, maybe wavering between life and death, you absolutely want me to be aggressive in my prayer, don't you? And if you put forward that prayer request to the whole church, you want aggressiveness. God rewards aggressiveness. It can make the difference between life and death. It's that important. Okay, back on the freeway. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. Here's this widow. Now, this is his description. It's not my story. You know, he comes up with these stories, which are a little bit strange to us, but it's Christ's story, so I'm not going to criticize the story. He's trying to illustrate a point. So it's the parable of the aggressive widow. I think aggressive is a much better way to see the story. Yes, she was persistent, but she's very aggressive. There's a certain city, a judge, verse 2, who did not fear God. Now, there was a widow in that city, and she came to the judge saying, "Get justice for me. I have an enemy, an adversary," and he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, "Though I don't fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me," she's very aggressive. She won't let go. I mean, it's even the stronger sense of her confrontation is it's more than nagging. She's in his grill. She's in his face. He walks into that courtroom and she's making a beeline. She's very aggressive, lest by her continual coming, she wears me out. Literally what it means is you can look this up, go into a deep dive, lest she gives me a black eye. She's angry. She's aggressive and she's going to give me a black eye. And I don't want to be known as the judge who got a black eye from a widow. It's a wonderful story. He told the story. Be more aggressive. That's why I say I truly believe often when requests are made to God or brought before him, and we think maybe it's a no or we don't understand why there's a delay, more often than not, it is a lack of aggressiveness on our part. I am totally convinced this culture neuters us. It wrecks us, right? I think any man who has a son is worried about that because he's going to go to school or whatever. It's an environment. We're worried that men are being feminized by the culture. And I don't mean that men have to be in a fight all the time or pull a gun or a knife. I don't mean that. Satan, ladies, close your ears. Satan wants to feminize you. He doesn't want you to be aggressive, especially in your relationship with God or going to Jesus Christ. Now, in other ways, we're to be gentle, and you could say maybe that is seen as more of a feminine characteristic. Obviously, we've gone to this, I don't know how many times, but it is worth remembering Genesis 32. Why did Jesus Christ wrestle with that man all night long? You talk about aggressiveness. I don't know how you can be more aggressive than to have a wrestling match with the creator of the whole universe. And the blessing wasn't given until that aggressiveness continued and frankly wouldn't stop. And then finally, Jesus Christ says, enough's enough. Daylight's approaching. And then Christ said, stop. And Jacob said, no, I won't stop unless you bless me. It's very rare indeed that you are going to somehow make a mistake in being aggressive with God. Now, obviously, we're not to use a foul tongue that maybe you would use with a human being when you're angry or something. I don't mean anything like that, of course. But you can see the theme. You can see the way he worked. Jesus Christ was very aggressive. He preached the gospel. He was persecuted constantly. Even his own disciples at times didn't believe him. Even his own disciples, most of them fled, right? This is an aggressive, warlike context. Demons gave him trouble, but he had no trouble casting them out, but they would talk back to him and so on. And of course, his aggressive stance had to be there to be beaten and to die, right? Even though you could say in a way, well, but he wasn't passive when he was beaten, and he wasn't passive when he went and was nailed to the cross. His mind was very aggressive. I will follow through with the cup my Father has given me to drink of. Very aggressive mind. It's a very different mind. It's a wonderful mind, and we can have that mind too. That can be in us. We must ask for it. We must pursue it. We must look for it, nurture it. So if you have a tendency to get down or feel overwhelmed, ask God to give you that mind. And that feeling of overwhelm or discouragement or frustration, or it's never going to get better, whatever little records playing in your mind, that will begin to break down. Now, it takes time. It doesn't always immediately change your mind, but he wants you to think differently. He's wonderful in that way. So if I get a bit down, especially I'm thinking about the work, again, I'm getting about how do you do it in a COVID environment? How much longer are we going to have of this? But I'm determined not to give in to that. I'm just not going to give in to it. I'm going to fight. And he will help me. And the Apostle Paul obviously had very much that mind set. Let's go to Acts chapter 21. He's warned not to go to Jerusalem. Actually, a prophet warns him, Agabus. We're in Acts chapter 21. And in verse 9, now it's talking about Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven in verse 8 of Acts chapter 21. In verse 9, now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. Interesting. I mean, we don't have that. It doesn't mean it couldn't happen in the future. We'll be very careful to make sure it's of God. Now, this is interesting. Again, I'm talking about this aggressive mind. In verse 11, and when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, Agabus, verse 10. This man, Agabus, took Paul's belt in front of people and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus says the Holy Spirit. So this is God's Spirit speaking through Agabus. So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, when we heard these things, both we and those from the place pleaded with Paul not to go to Jerusalem. They didn't want to see Paul hurt or killed. Very aggressive context here. It is war. It's Satan's world. Sometimes we forget this. It is Satan's world, and we fight, and we have to be aware that we need to fight. And the members loving Paul didn't want anything to happen to Paul. In verse 13, and Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? This was a tough day. They were crying. He loved them. He would probably never see them again. I don't think he ever sees them again. His friends, they were like family to him. They were family to him. Paul said, don't do this, for I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord. So obviously he's determined, there's an aggressive mind, I'm going to Jerusalem no matter what. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. Maybe even Luke was discouraging him. We don't know. So you have to have that aggressiveness. Let's remember God wants us to be aggressive because we're told to bear much fruit. The more aggressive you are, the more fruit you're going to bear. It's as simple as that. And he will help you. Okay, he will help all of us. And I do believe you are aggressive, but I also know this world can wear us down. The best of us can get extremely discouraged, overwhelm, distractions, broken family relationships. Look at Thanksgiving across the land. I'm sure there are a lot of, well, he didn't show up this year to Thanksgiving dinner because probably most families had that. You know the world we live in, all these divisions. The whole COVID thing, which angers me because it doesn't stop a work from being done, but it angers me. It gets in the way. It's a hindrance. Satan will hinder you. So when you have that aggressive spirit, which is a quality of God, It is the mind of Jesus Christ, okay? Remember, as Timothy said, we're given the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So what I'm talking about is the manifestation of the spirit of power that works on my human mind and your human mind. It's very real. It's just a mind that says, I'm not going to cave into discouragement. God's going to give me victory. I may not see victory in the next 24 hours. He's going to get me through the storm. I'm not going to cave into this, and I'm going to move forward. And he will strengthen you in that. So you'll produce more fruit. Overcoming, you'll see greater fruit in terms of overcoming your weaknesses. You'll be closer to God because he blesses those who diligently seek him. You'll have more peace of mind because in the aggressive world, things become much clearer and you do have faith. And as God gives you victories, that faith is strengthened and you layer up on your victories and you have more faith and a momentum then is created and built. It's hard when momentum is broken in our lives and we're just floundering. Satan, from time to time, he will knock us down. We're going to be down on the canvas. God's with you. He's with you. He'll strengthen you. He wants you to fight. We're told to fight. He will give you that fighting spirit. It is a spirit of power. I'm talking today about a spirit of power, and it's a very different mind. Now, those two men who fought against the Philistines, each in their own location, all their friends, their family, they all fled the field of battle. But those individuals stood, said, to hell with it. I'm not caving on this. In terms of the fight. And he was fighting the enemy. Very, very aggressive. And God gives us these examples. Of course, you go through the whole book of Judges and you see this really exemplified, particularly in the book of Judges. Even Deborah had that mindset. Esther had that mindset when she fasted 3 days and three nights. She entered into a very different mind. That was a tough decision. She could have been killed for entering into the presence of the king. There's no guarantee she was going to live through that. She put her life on the line. Daniel, obviously, could have been killed just for praying three times a day. God loves aggressiveness. It is such a good thing. Find a way to stir it up. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6, Paul says to Timothy, stir up. Find a way to stir it up, whatever's necessary. Maybe you need more courage. Maybe you need more stamina, maybe more patience. It could be more boldness, more clarity. All these mindsets are power issues. They're power issues that work deep in the inner man, deep in the inner man. And God's spirit will go there, but we must request it. It's not necessarily there automatically. This is very important to appreciate. So we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and might. Take a hold of the battle you're involved in your personal life. Be more aggressive. God will bless that aggressiveness. He'll bless the initiative, the greater boldness, the greater determination, the greater force of personality, whatever is necessary. Apply to the situation. Satan is the author of discouragement, of overwhelm. It's never going to work out. I don't think it's ever going to happen. Those gray skies that can move in so quickly. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll conclude here. Hebrews chapter 11. We are better people to our families, to the church, to Jesus Christ, even in some strange ways to where we work, when we are more aggressive. It is such a wonderful power that is there for the asking. But you've got to stay there, continually ask. It's not like a one-time request. It's a constant renewing of a very different mind. So as you go to this wonderful passage in the book of Hebrews 11, Hebrews chapter 11. And this is God making it very, very clear. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever comes to God must believe that he is, and we believe that. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's a rewarder. He will bless you. He is a rewarder of those who aggressively seek him. Aggressive, aggressive, aggressive. Diligence, again, a little bit more kind of a King James term. You be aggressive, go after, pray, study, ask, do. After you pray and study, say, well, what can I do? What human thing can I do? Maybe I can make an extra phone call. Maybe I can look into this more. I mean, there are always different things we can do humanly. God blesses those who seek him aggressively, but it has to become a regular mindset, not just an occasional mindset. Just as we're to love at all times and be patient at all times, and it's hard, we're to be aggressive at all times. So may God bless you and give you the victory he so desires to give to you. But we must have the mind of Christ, which is a very different mind, an aggressive mind. So enjoy the rest of the Sabbath.